Greetings, friends and neighbors. We welcome you to this online worship service as we celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We celebrate all that his ascension means for us today, that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father on the 40th day after his resurrection, and that he is ruling over all things for the good of his church. And so we invite you to celebrate with us today as we join together in song and around God's word. Our first hymn is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. We invite you to join along. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is arisen.
He is risen indeed.
God has ascended amid shouts of joy.
Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving, and extol him with music and song.
Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
We believe and are sure that he is the Christ, the
the Son of the living God.
God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church.
At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things.
Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Never again will we hunger. Never again will we thirst. The sun will not beat upon us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
We join together singing, Hail the day that sees him rise. Ascension celebration is taken from Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses. The book of Acts is really a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And Luke continues by pointing to the not just the resurrection, but the ascension of Jesus. And that's the first event that he writes about as he records in Acts the beginning of the Christian church. And so we read there the account of Christ's ascension in Acts chapter 1. I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they were together with him, they asked, "Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God. We'll continue with our next hymn, "Oh, the Deep, Deep Love."
Holy as the might.
The second lesson for our Ascension celebration is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. These verses will serve as our focus for the sermon today as well. The Apostle Paul writes to those Christians in Ephesus and to us, "This is why, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, and just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is the word of God. Our next anthem is "The Risen Christ."
Thank you.
Our gospel for this ascension celebration is taken from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Luke, as you know, was not an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. He didn't travel with Jesus, but he was a historian. And having researched, having interviewed, having looked into these things for himself, he came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so he wrote this gospel as a historian, as an encouragement to a man named Theophilus, and for you and for me. And as his gospel draws to a close, he points us to Jesus who ascended into heaven. And so we read the ending of Luke's gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. Our next hymn is "On Christ's Ascension I Now Build."
Oh, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, your ascended and ruling Savior. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon for today is the second lesson from Ephesians chapter 1. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, Tuesday, there was a flyover. The Wisconsin Air National Guard flew over with several F-16 Flying Falcon jets almost all the way around Wisconsin. They did so in order to show support for first responders and those in the medical field working on the front lines of the pandemic. And those fighter jets are so powerful. They're about 50 feet long. They weigh about 20,000 pounds. They can fly at speeds up to 1,500 miles per hour, fly up to heights way over 50,000 feet, and fly distances with the gas in their tanks of over 2,000 miles. With their weapons systems, those Flying Falcons have proven effective and accurate at taking out tanks and buildings and enemy aircraft. They served our country very well in the fight against terror and in other missions. As we listen to those jets thundering and roaring overhead, it's a wonderful reminder that as Americans, we have some power up in the skies whenever we need it. Today, as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus, we Christians are reassured that we have an even higher power in Christ. On this ascension, we focus on Jesus' power at work for us to reveal, to raise, and to rule. When Jesus ascended up into heaven, his disciples were staring up as he was going up and up, and then a cloud hid him from their sight. But it didn't usually take a literal cloud to make things a little bit foggy for Jesus' disciples. They had a hard time seeing him clearly as it was. In the gospel lesson for today, we heard how when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he had to open their minds to the scriptures so they could finally understand the main point, that Jesus had to suffer and die and rise again from the dead. In the first lesson from Acts chapter 1, the disciples couldn't see Jesus' kingdom very clearly. They were expecting Jesus to restore an earthly kingdom to Israel. Jesus had to clear the clouds a little bit, to clear the fog for them, and tell them, no, you are going to get to spread the good news of my kingdom, my rule in people's hearts, to the ends of the earth. And in our sermon text, too, from Ephesians chapter 1, even though those Ephesian Christians trusted in the Lord, and they showed their love for the saints and for others in their good deeds, Paul realized that things could get a little bit clouded for them too. That's what happens to us too, isn't it? Maybe for you in the past several weeks of the pandemic and the shelter at home and the safer at home orders, maybe you felt isolated and you're lonely and down and despondent, and it's been difficult for you to see Christ clearly. Or maybe for you, you've been one of those essential workers who've been working overtime hard week in and week out, and you're feeling burnt out and ready to give up. Christ, I'm having a hard time seeing you. Or maybe you've been very scared about getting sick. Or maybe you've been disappointed at how the different responses have rolled out to the pandemic. Maybe you're worried about the future. What's going to happen with employment and the economy and school and sports and all the things that we love? What's going to happen? Maybe a sin, that same sin that you've been struggling with, has really been beating you up lately and clouding you from seeing what's most important. These things swirl around in our hearts. They fog things up, cloud us, from being able to see Christ's power clearly. That's why Paul says here, he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. On our own, things are so cloudy and darkened and full of foolishness. And as we look to the world around us to help see the big picture better, they're of no help either. We need this wisdom and this revelation from God, the true God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He brings us the wisdom that we truly need, wisdom about ourselves and Him, wisdom about life and living, wisdom about salvation, wisdom about how to show love, and how that works practically from day to day. That true wisdom is found in Christ. Christ revealed in the gospel, Christ revealed in our baptisms, Christ revealed in the supper, Christ revealed in His word, Christ revealed as one Christian shares the message of forgiveness with other people, Christ revealed in the Spirit that He sent. Paul continues, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which He has called you, just how rich His glorious inheritance among the saints is. Paul prays that we might know the hope that God has called us to. There are a lot of different things that people are hoping for right now. I hope I don't get sick. I hope the weather will be good this weekend. I hope our economy will bounce back by the end of the summer. And these are all great things to hope for, but they're not very certain. The hope that we have, the hope that God has called us to, is sure. We have an ever-present optimism about the future because of the promises God has kept in the past. God has fulfilled all of His promises to us in Christ. They have always been fulfilled. They always will be, and they will never fail. Just as sure as the sun rises each day and blazes in the sky above us. Just how rich is our inheritance? Well, maybe you've heard of Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon. He's the world's richest man right now, worth well over $100 billion. But even if you were one of his children, receiving that kind of an inheritance, money here can be spent, squandered, or used up, no matter how much it is. But the inheritance we have, our glorious inheritance among the saints, that is limitless. It never runs out. It's eternal. Our glory secured for us in heaven with our ascended Christ. Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened to see that wisdom, that hope, that glorious inheritance. When things in your life, your sin, cloud that vision, see Christ's power at work for you, at work to reveal, but also at work to raise. Those F-16 Flying Falcon jets, they don't just stay in the hangar collecting dust. No, they come out frequently. They come out regularly for maintenance and inspections and training flights. The flyover last Tuesday was not just to show support for the frontline workers in the pandemic. It was also to flex a little flying muscle so that those pilots could be prepared and stay proficient, ready to spring into action. Last Tuesday, those Flying Falcons, they soared and showed just how strong they are. Our God does that too. He flexes His muscle. He shows His strength. Listen to how Paul talks about that. And just how surpassingly great His power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of His mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Of all of our human accomplishments, building the pyramids or skyscrapers, robotic surgery or sending people into outer space, we could never and we have never conquered death. We can't create life or restore it, but our God can. He is that strong. He is that powerful to create and restore life. He raised Christ from the dead on the third day. That is his power at work for us who believe. God will raise our mortal bodies so that they will be like Christ's glorious body. He will raise us to life. He will raise us from the dead so that we will never die again. This isn't just a training mission. This is death destroyed and obliterated for us by God's mighty power. See Jesus' great power at work for you. His power to raise. And also his power to rule. I read that those F-16 Flying Falcon jets are actually going to be replaced soon. They're being switched out for a better model, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter jets. Down here in this world, the best will always be bested. Rulers get overruled. Powers get overpowered. There's always something higher and better and stronger down here. But there's nothing stronger. There's nothing that can outdo or overpower our Christ, ascended to God's right hand. Listen to what Paul says here. God seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Now that Jesus is ascended to God's right hand, he is all powerful. There is no power greater than him. No president or prime minister, no sultan or senator, no general or judge, no pope or prophet is more powerful than our ascended Christ. No angel or archangel is stronger than him. No demon or devil could ever overpower him. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, that is the name above all names, the greatest name and the greatest title that there ever is, ever was, or will be, now or in the age to come. That's what God's word says, and that's what we believe. But sometimes, if your heart's anything like mine, it can get a little bit clouded on that too. So really, how is Christ ruling when persecution breaks out against God's people? How is Christ ruling when false teachings tyrannize so many? How is Christ really ruling above all things when God's good laws are outlawed by secular authorities? How is Christ really ruling in a pandemic or a recession or a war? Well, Christ was ruling when Stephen, one of the seven, was put on trial and ended up being murdered, stoned. He got to see Christ at God's right hand, and he was delivered to glory with Christ. Christ ruling. Christ was ruling as a persecution broke out in the early Christian church, and God's people had to scatter all around Judea and Samaria. Christ was ruling as the message of his power and love was spread about. All those Christians told the gospel wherever they went. Christ was ruling in Galatia when people were deserting the gospel for a different gospel that was really no gospel at all. Christ was ruling by appealing to those people through the apostle that he gave and through those promises that he gives by faith, just as he did to Abraham. Christ was ruling as the apostle Paul was imprisoned or beaten or shipwrecked. Christ was ruling by giving Paul strength in his weakness. Christ is ruling at all times, above every other power or authority, for you and me, his people. Now, a king wouldn't be much of a king without any subjects, would he? In the same way, a head wouldn't be worth much without a body. A head without a body could not go and get a snack from the refrigerator, could not brush its hair, or scratch the back of its neck. A head without its body would be incomplete. Listen to how Christ, who is above all things, who is head over everything, feels about you. God also placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Even though Jesus is true God, and he's everywhere, filling all things in every way, even though Jesus, as true God, is absolutely independent, he says he's incomplete without you, the church. Jesus, in a sense, completed himself when he connected you to him by your baptism, by the gospel, through belief in the truth. When you, as a member of Christ's body, are hurting, Christ, your head, feels that. When you, as a member of Christ's body, are healthy, Christ is refreshed and relieved. When you, as a member of Christ's body, stay connected to him, strong and growing, Christ says, that completes me. As head over everything, the highest power there is, no one can lift a finger or take a step or turn around without his say-so, as he rules over all things for your good. You, the church, all believers of all times, in every place. This is Christ's power at work for you, his power to rule. When we need those fighter jets, they don't do too much good when they're parked on the ground. They're an easy target there. Those fighter jets, they need to get up into the sky so they can be useful, so that they can be a blessing to our country. In a similar way, what a blessing Jesus is to us. How grateful we can be that he has ascended at God's right hand, ruling over all things. That's Jesus' power at work for you, his power to reveal wisdom and hope and our inheritance. His power to raise us from the dead. His power to rule over all things for our good. When things get cloudy for you, when you get down, when you have a difficult time seeing what's most important, may this ascension message mean everything to you. Jesus' power is at work for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue by confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our ascended Lord asks us, in thanks to him, to set aside a generous portion of all we receive in support of the ministry of the gospel, sharing his power with others too. Our service today is kind of a cooperative effort, a joint effort between St. John, St. Peter in Cleveland, Calvary in Sheboygan, and St. Paul's here in Howard's Grove. We thank you for your generous support of your ministries, whichever congregation you may be a part of. We continue now with prayer. O King of Glory, on this day you ascended in triumph far above all heavens. We ask your Spirit's abiding presence here on earth within our hearts. Empower us truly to be your disciples in this life and to be your companions at the heavenly feast for all eternity.
This we ask for your love's sake.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We continue now with our closing hymn, 170.
To worship. I want to take a moment to thank all of our musicians that have joined us today in recording this video, and of course our audiovisual crew as well. Thank you for your efforts, and we wish God's blessings to all of you as you continue to celebrate the resurrection joy of our Savior, and to celebrate also that he is ruling over all things at the right hand of our Father in heaven. God's blessings, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.